Good morning, everybody. This is IT Live, brought to you by the one and only Academy Sports and Outdoors. I'm Tex Homer. There's Eric Nalin coming live from a McDonald's in Lake Tahoe area. And then we got Coach Dub as well. Start time is fake news. That is true. We like to keep you guys on your toes. Routine is good, but you got to change it up just a little bit, guys.
Hey, why do you think I'm in Lake Tahoe? It's white boy summer in Tahoe, man.
That's true.
Yeah, hey, that is actually fake news because the whole Bay Area comes up and it is it's just as diverse as the Bay Area.
Yeah, it's not white boy summer.
Yeah,
it's everybody right. Summer. It's Lee Allen Clark summer. Hopefully,
this is our inclusive broadcast, gentlemen. Random Allen Clark appreciation post. Both him and Coach Baker have been on a tear this recruiting cycle. Man, that was a good pickup. Who was it? Was it Hero Canoe that said that from Ohio State that y'all stole one and then came here? Who was that? Somebody from Ohio State.
JT, I can't pronounce the last name, defensive end, number 44.
JT Tumaloa.
Tumaloa, okay.
Cool. Yeah. Good morning, y'all. Good morning. All right.
You y'all.
We had a big recruiting weekend again. We keep seeming to be doing that. But I just want to – I'm going to run down names. Our smart recruiting guys are going to tell you what they know about them. And let us begin. Let's start off with offensive line, Zayden Crimpen.
Man, Crimpen ain't easy, man. Look, Crimpen had another great visit. Man, him just connecting with Coach Kyle Flood says it all. I know he mentioned that. He compared him to Kelvin Banks. I think the offensive lineman from Alabama, I can't think of his name right off the top of my head now, but he said he compared it to him as far as height, weight coming in, and what his projection and what he could be. So he really loved that. You know, he said everybody wants to put him inside as an interior lineman. But he's like, Coach Kyle Flood said, you might start out inside, but you can still play tackle. We're recruiting you as a tackle, right? So it's just something that Crimpen loved to hear. But he also just enjoyed the visit, learn about the academic side, just being around the other guys, learn about the true culture of Texas. Man, I think that stood out more than anything. Him and his family just enjoyed their day in Austin or their weekend in Austin.
Yeah, Crimpen's a good example of the recruiting narrative taking over from and swaying everybody away from reality. The reality is that they've been recruiting him as a tackle. He's got tackle arm length. He's got tackle feet. I guess everybody sees how nasty he is and just assumes he's going to be interior lineman. But, you know, physicality plays that edge when you're going up against edges as well. So, you know, you want to muster in the run game no matter what. Think about outside zone. He's a really good player. I think Texas still has to worry about A&M a little bit. That A&M visit blew him away. But, you know, I think every visit kind of blew him away a little bit. LSU, he liked quite a bit after that one, too. Right now, it looks like Texas versus Texas A&M. We like Texas to win out, but they still got to get this over the line. But Kofler has done a really good job of making him feel like a priority despite the presence of Felix Ojo and John Turntime in this cycle.
Cool. I like Zayden Crimpen, man. That's fun tape to watch.
Love it.
And it's not a knock that he could play interior, by the way. Actually, it's just it is a shout-out to how many different intangibles he has. He's got leadership intangibles. He's smart. He's quick out of his stance, which plays at center, of course. And so, he could, like I said, he could play all five positions, but the most valuable position on offensive line is tackle, so of course you're going to start him there first.
Yeah. And then we got edge Dre Quinn. Seems like that visit went well as well.
Yeah. Joe Cook put in RPM. I love this kid. Okay, well, we got some highlights here. Okay, he's going up against private school competition. I love that he's playing, hand in the ground. It's going to force you to become more physical player. Obviously, when he plays in college, most of the time he's going to be standing up playing that Colin Simmons position, Buck. But he's got really good move skills. I think he's going to show you some good face-up moves on this next play, which is obviously going to play good at edge. Yeah, good face-up move there. It's going to play well at edge. That's basically an edge pass rush out of a down stance. So I love this kid. Joe Cook put an RPM for him. I think he's the perfect sort of player. Look at that physicality there. Man. Blow that up. You're gonna have to know how to do that playing OU. So he's the perfect guy to sit for a year behind Colin Simmons, play a little bit, learn the ways of Colin Simmons. Colin's gonna be out. He'll have a year in the program, and he's a pretty physically mature kid with still a lot of room to grow. This is a player that people should be much more excited about. And of course, he's gonna have the proving ground of playing the Buford schedule this year. We're gonna get a better idea of how ready he is. Okay. But he's a pretty physically imposing player, and he moves extremely well.
Yeah, man. Look, I stack him there as far as his movement, but then you look at this tape here. Now he's lined up at the slot. We're talking about the athletic ability, right? He's good off the ball, man. So, to me, man, you put tape after like this, put him at the edge position, let him get out to the quarterback, you're looking at a dominant force going in the future, if you ask me. I mean, the feet, the hands, and everything. So, you got to work some of the same techniques sometimes coming off as a pass rush I look at the physicality. I'm going to move you out of the way.
Yeah.
Like, off the ball, man. This is an absolute stud to me.
If the middle eval is there, he's got some Jamon Tapp too, where Jamon Tapp, you know, wasn't limited by, you know, physical ability, athleticism. He's got a lot of tools to work with. Really good player. Hopefully Texas can get this kid. I know everybody's focused on guys like Xavier Griffin. We'll talk about him in a minute. But this is a guy I covet a lot. Just as much as I probably want him as much as Xavier Griffin, maybe more.
Cool. I want to say this fourth and short. Situational ball, fellas. Okay, didn't get blocked. So you think you – me, generally, I would block an interior defensive line on fourth and short. But
yeah.
Hey, look at this, man.
Oh, he's running a post.
He got it. I mean, the routes are non-existent, but he got there.
People don't want to tackle him. People don't want to tackle him.
That's for sure. He's a fun player, man. I love that we're more in head-to-head battles against the traditional SEC national powers and not just OU and A&M. So A&M, we've heard several things about this cycle. What's weird is every time I see an OU commit, I'm like, I've never even heard of that player. And normally, and I'm not even dissing them, but it's just like it used to be a lot more head-to-heads, and it seems like, I don't know if it's Nagy going for like, you know, spreading out or what it is, but it doesn't seem like Texas and OU are going head-to-head that much this cycle. A&M, of course, but yeah, it's more traditional SEC. We hear a lot more like Bama, you know, than we do OU right now, which is, I think, an interesting change.
Definitely.
All right, let's talk Bodney Cleveland. Big dog.
Bodney's been a priority pretty much since January. Texas has been very consistent. Kenny Baker's been really consistent in that recruitment. Still worried about Florida. We know Florida and that'd be talking about a traditional SEC battles. Texas, look at that play strength. Texas has a lot of battles with Florida right now. He's Kent is another one. Kendall Gurville. So they're going up against Florida for these D tackles, and you know someone's going to matter is NIL. But if it comes down to a tiebreaker, I think Texas did a really good job on the visit. You know, he loved it. Lives up to the expectations. Kenny Baker has a good relationship with him. So this is one we think that Texas has a really good shot for. But man, it could come down to NIL, and then it's, you know, who truly wants him more.
Yeah, Florida's won this cycle too, even last. But it seems like Florida's really stepping on the gas too. Coach,
last October or November when they realized they weren't going to fire Billy Napier and just devote all that money towards NIL, they became a whole different recruiting animal.
Yeah.
Now it's up to Napier to make sure that year reprieve, he can turn it into a longer reprieve. But for now, they're formidable on the recruiting front.
Yeah.
Well, they just got Jarelle McCoy this weekend, finally. That got over the line. So they're recruiting well. But Bodney has really good movement skills and good play strength. Some of the penetrating abilities that they're looking for. I do wonder about arm length. I wish I had a measurement on that.
Yeah. So explain, Eric, we talk about arm length. There's certain like key measurables, right? Or even like distance running. There's like magic numbers in the 100 meters that we like kind of. What is the real value of arm length for the fans? Because we bring it up all the time.
Well, it helps you control the man across from you. Now, it's not just arm length. That's a good advantage to have. You still have to use your hand placement, right? You still have to be quick with your hands. But if everything is equal, hand placement is equal, your hands are quick, you can have the advantage when it comes to controlling the guy across from you. And then, you're able to guide him and, you know, get off blocks better or control him if you're an offensive tackle. That's why they're always looking for offensive linemen with long arms. So it's just it's a battle of matchups, and any little advantage you can get. Like an arm length is a pretty big one. They look at the NFL, the average arm length. There's certain metrics that they're looking for at arm length in the NFL. Texas is kind of using that same approach here.
Yeah, and because once you get up to the top margins, you know, if you can get half of a percent of an advantage, they're going to take it. And so that's the difference with the arm links when you get up to these really elite athletes.
That's why I love Jarelle McCoy so much, because that guy had advantages that Tyree Wilson had at Texas Tech that you almost don't even have to coach the dude up. Just go beat that guy and use your advantages. And that's what Jarelle's going to do at minimum.
Yeah. Is OU really down so bad that they're taking 3 stars? There's nothing wrong with taking 3 stars. Texas takes like probably 5 or 6 a cycle. Sometimes they're on longer development curves. Sometimes they're Byron Murphy and Baron Terrell, you know? So I'm not knocking 3 stars, but you don't want it too many, I guess. There's probably a point of negative return there, but
the average person would not be able to tell the difference between if you had 50 guys and they're all ranging between 88 and 92, the average person would not get it right which one's a 4-star and a 3-star more often than not, because they're almost indistinguishable.
That's where the real evaluations come in, because I can almost take anyone off the street and show you a 5-star because they're going to pop on tape. That's where that's the real skill. I mean, right. It doesn't take a ton of skill to be like, this guy's 6'4", 2, whatever. So yeah, that's the value. You can find great value in 3-stars. Now there's going to be a point, right? Like 5 or 6 sounds good. Half of your class 3-stars, probably you're in a different level of competition, right? You're just not at the top, but
yeah. And you have to sprinkle them in too. You know, you're not going to win with a whole defensive line of 3-stars. Now you can do a little bit better on offensive line with 3-stars because they're going to be a longer developmental curve. You're going to play them as grown men more often. You know, Ohio State won that national championship with Tom Herman. I think it was nothing but 3-stars. But you can't really win with 3-star wide receivers. You know, it's going to be tough. You need some electric athletes that tend to be ranked much higher. But you can get away with it more at some positions than you can at others.
Well, this is what I'm interested in. Like when we're talking about OU going for value more often now, right? I want to see if it works. You know, I'm not really knocking it yet. I need to see if Nagy's evals.
Did you see that they weren't paying attention to certain measurables at camps? Apparently, at least this is what some OU insider said. And that Nagy came in and they reinstituted, you know, paying more attention to the metrics. So it's almost like Venables was just looking for, like, I'm looking for pure football players.
That nonsense, dude.
You need football players that have athletic upside, significant athletic upside. Exactly. So a vertical broad jump, that stuff really matters.
Well, and also too, like the NFL cares, right? So if you want to be a program that gets guys to the league, that creates that vicious cycle you love, you know?
Yeah,
and so
you want as much data as possible as you can get on them, and not caring about the athletic profile is absurd.
Yeah, of course you want the intangibles, but the whole point of the intangibles is they're not provable. So if I could be an elite recruiter if I didn't focus on tangibles, because you could never prove me wrong. So that's kind of a cop-out, but I'm glad that they hired somebody that understood that. All right, let's talk Braden Rouse, linebacker.
Oh, man, I just want to watch the tape and dream.
Eric loves him.
Yeah, he does.
Until he's committed to Tennessee, and then the dream is over. I don't think Texas, you know, watching playing outside, this is like Leonga LaFau playing deep in coverage. He moves like Jordan Hicks, which means he can play backwards in coverage. He can play downhill. You're going to see him have really good body control and skill with his hands when he goes on offense. I think he plays H-back. Just a really complete player all around. He's an all-around football player that also has the length that they're looking for in a modern player. I love him. He's one of my, you know, he's one of my favorite guys on the Texas big board. Now, the problem is this was his first time on campus, and Tennessee just has a huge advantage when it comes to relationships. So I don't know. I don't know. I'm trying not to watch his tape too often because then I just, you know, I get my hopes up.
Man, look at him read and react. Like one of the true off-ball linebackers, like in the class, that you normally don't see much. A lot of edge rushing athletes, but
watch this catch.
Let's see. Yeah. Oh, that's not fair. It's just not fair, bro.
That's absurd, man. When your linebacker's doing that. Okay, so, you know, we saw Jalen Ford have a big year with, what, 5 picks one year? Was it 5 or 4?
Yeah.
This guy dropping in coverage with that length and that hand-eye coordination. And then, of course, like Charlie just alluded to, you know, you get a much clearer picture when they play off-ball linebacker. He's doing a little bit of everything, but off-ball is important. But look at that. Look how quick he is off the edge. This guy should be a 5-star.
What's he at?
High 4? I don't know. Hey, one of you guys, tell me what he is. I think he's a top 100 player, but it's not everybody's universal on it. But he should be a 5-star to me.
He looks smart, too, man. It's like he's reading everything really well.
Patient, man. He doesn't overcommit soon. Like, reason.
I don't think the networks do a good job on identifying guys that are making plays with their head. That's not all footballness, but he's got the athleticism too. But certain positions where you make plays with your head, like safety and linebacker, you're going to be – a lot of guys are going to tend to be underrated because I don't think networks actually – they don't have time to look at that. They're looking at camp numbers and explosive plays.
Well, you saw him on that tight end. He rerouted him, and then he long-armed it like a corner and smacked it down. Like, there's not a lot of linebackers that actually play with that level of technique too.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Smart kid, yeah.
Sorry, Eric. Sorry to do that to you, dude.
Oh, man. Well, yeah, let's go watch some Jamal Adams tape while we're at it.
All right. We got another player, Xavier Griffin, listed as a linebacker. For us would be an edge, correct? Yeah. Okay, cool.
Wait, he gave the game away in his quotes. He didn't say much about recruiting, but he gave the game away. He said that they're looking at him as edge first year and then off-ball linebacker long-term.
Right.
Okay.
Man, another kid with a great get-off. Man, he got bend already quick off the ball. I like Griffin as well. I know he wasn't show much off the ball tape like Roush just did, but man, off the edge, this dude's an absolute stud coming off from a 2-point stance. There's nobody at this level that can block him. He's just too quick. I don't think he has to use an array of moves because he's just so fast. He can run by everybody, right, and kind of dip up under him. But man, an absolute stud. Hey, look, I don't know what it is. A lot of these linebackers wearing number 8. Everybody wants to be Colin Simmons. That's what he wore in high school. I don't know, but I see the path to the field being edge right behind Colin.
I'm a little bit more excited about him than I was before when I heard the plan. See, now I think I would move him off ball if he's got the Anthony Hill. The Anthony Hill plan was the same thing, playing edge early on. And then, see, that's that quickness and range, that's some DeMarvin Overshown stuff there. I don't know that he's going to have the physicality early in his career to play edge. He's a little on the underside. Now, the pass rusher, sure, but there's two sides to that coin. You got to be able to get off blocks and play the run game as well.
So I have
some questions about him as edge, about how quick he can play. Obviously, he's not needed that first year. But to me, it's almost like, and people are not going to like this, and I get slapped around for it, but it's almost like a Tecilia Akana take, except he's got a much higher floor because you can move him to off-ball linebacker eventually. And like I said, that's exactly what they did with Anthony Hill. They just moved him off-ball linebacker so quick because he picked it up so quick. The plan for him this freshman year was to play him at edge and then bring him along slowly, but he was just so coachable and so ready to play that he moved off ball. But I like the plan for him. I hope that, you know, because they need linebackers. But if he can do edge rushing first year, situational, replace whatever Trey Moore gives you in that regard this year, and then bring him off ball linebacker, I'm a lot more excited about him. Right now, I think if he's a straight edge, I'm not a buyer in him being a 5-star.
Cool. And we think Alabama's in the lead right now, right?
Yeah, Ohio State's making it more interesting. Going to Matt Patricia from Jim Knowles helps them out.
Cool. All right, guys. Before we keep going, let's hear a word from our sponsor. In honor of your service and support for our country, Academy Sports and Outdoors is offering military and first responders 10% off your purchase, both in your local Academy Sports and Outdoors and online, from April 27th through July 4th. So you still got a little while, guys. Exclusions apply. Visit academy.com/discount for details. Okay. Corner, Samari Matthews, North Carolina. What's going on with Samari here, guys?
Samari summed up to his visit with as all gas, no brakes. I mean, seen this kid in person a few times and watching film, like he can do it all. He can play man, he can play off ball, press, understands concepts, route concepts. He can play match 3, cover 4, like whatever position you put him in, he can play it, man. This is an absolute stud, a shutdown corner on the outside, man. I absolutely love this kid. He has the length, he has the speed, plays the ball well in the air. So I love this kid. Whatever you want to put him at, put him at field, put him at boundary, whatever. He's going to get the job done. That's how I feel about him. He feels good.
That's the point I was about to make is that, you know, a lot of times you see these corners and you can kind of tell whether or not they're going to be boundary or field. With him, he could play either. I liken him to Cade Phillips in that regard where, you got the size that they covet in boundary. You got to be physical over there. You tend to be in man more often than in field. But at the same time, he's got all the movement skills, the fluidity to play and the speed, the makeup speed to play field. So that there's a whole lot of value in a corner like him. He's another guy that might be a little underrated.
I was glad he visited because anytime they're going away from far from home, I think he had a quote of something that Texas felt like home. Now, yeah. You can't take a ton of stock in that because, like, there's, like, 4 or 5 phrases all recruits memorize somehow throughout the process. The coaches showed me my fit. I can see what they're building there. It feels like home. So
they go to their call sheet on their wrist like a quarterback, and it's like, oh, I'm going to go with this one.
Yeah.
Family atmosphere.
I think family atmosphere. I thought of making recruit card bingo and every single time they hit one of the phrases, but still it does matter for somebody from North Carolina, right? You want, they're traveling. So Texas is a different type of field in North Carolina. So
I will say this one, inside information on this one points very favorably beyond that. Yeah. Once you get behind the generic quotes, the inside information, the real stuff, Texas has a very good relationship with not only him, but his family. Right. I think there's a lot of trust there already. This is one where Orphy having a pre-existing relationship coming from Rutgers helped out. Obviously, he was not going to go to Rutgers, but a lot of times there's a coach that these guys will have. Baylor's had a few of these coaches too, and you'll talk to recruits like, man, if that guy wasn't at Baylor, I'd go wherever he was, but I'm not going to Baylor, you know?
Yeah.
Orphy probably had that same thing. Like, you know, Samari's like, oh man, coach is great, but you know, right. New Jersey.
I'm not going to Rutgers, dude.
So I think Texas is in a really, really good spot for Samari. It's going to be interesting to see how DB plays out. I think I love the plan. As somebody on the board posted the other day, I think it was Big Surly Guy. I hate to give him some love, but I guess I have to. He said it's been a very drama-free baton pass from the previous coaches to the new coaches. When in the past we saw some hiccups along the way from Choate to Nance, and there were some hiccups from Bo Davis to Baker. There were some early hiccups, but it all worked out in the end. Here was just talk about a seamless transition, and I think that has a lot to do with Gideon and Joseph had really good relationships with guys in place when they left, and they made a concerted effort to kind of introduce the new coaches and still tell the guys, hey, I'm going to take this new job, but this is why Texas is the place for you.
Well, and that's what's great too, right? Joseph goes to the league, so there's no bad blood, right? And then Gideon goes to Georgia Tech, right? Which is not going to necessarily be in the same level of recruiting, you know? So it's like you end up with both those coaches being able to say like, no, so you can still go to Texas. It's all good.
Yeah, it's not Bo Davis going to LSU. You
know? Exactly. And so that's where it's tricky. All right, big dog here, guys. Offensive tackle, 5-star, Felix Ojo. He's awesome.
Like, I actually love Ojo. He's probably on the field working right now. Like, I know when school let out, the first thing he did was get on the field, start doing footwork drills by himself. Man, this is a kid who, I know he posted a picture with Goosby. You know, hey, he sees the future. He sees the pipeline. He talked about it, you know, in previous visits, you know, talking to Coach Kyle Flood that, hey, I see what Texas is doing. Kelvin Banks to Trevor Goosby, I can be next, right? I can be that left tackle, that cornerstone who will maybe, you know, spend three years at Texas and then be drafted myself. But, I mean, I absolutely love it. I love his game. He's steady improving each and every time I see him. He's a competitor. Competes in everything, no matter if it's basketball, track and field. And he was out there at OT 7-7-0-7. Like, he just wants to compete. And I love his mentality, man. He, you know, if you look at his social media, pay attention to it. He calls out people like Colin Simmons, like, hey, let's line it up. Let's go. I want to prove I'm that guy. And that's what type of guy, especially one at left tackle. So,
yeah.
Absolutely love it,
Aaron. I think someone sat down next to him at the McDonald's, so I think he has to move spots real quick. I think that's what he's doing. That's the tough part, dude, when you're working for McDonald's, dude. That's how
it goes. Yeah, but Ojo has a great relationship with Texas Coach Kyle Flood. Like I said, he sees – I know it's a generic quote, but he does see what's next. He sees what's in front of him. Like, it's laid out from the blueprint.
Oh, his path – yeah, dude, that's not one of the generic ones. That path is very legitimate
for him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. He sees Banks. He sees Goosby. I mean, yeah, for sure. Right. And – man, what was the knock on him? He was unpolished or something like that?
Yeah, I think he came into the scene, like, I know coming into before his junior year, like, he kind of grew. He grew a lot, right? And kind of get into his body. So everybody's like, oh, you know, he's big, but he has a big frame. But, you know, what kind of offensive lineman is it? Like, you know, it takes a while. When you grow from maybe like 6'3", now you're 6'7", like, that's a lot.
Yeah,
you gotta get used to playing in your new body, right? So to speak. And so I think it took a lot for his mentality to catch up to being 6'7". Honestly, but now he's like, I know I'm the man now. So you kind of see it in his play, like, hey, I'm a dominant force. I'm a dominant. Everybody lines up against me. And so I think that's what had to come play a big part of his growth as a player.
That is interesting psychologically, right? When you grow that much, you have to train yourself to, like, oh, yeah, I am 6'7". I can behave like I'm 6'7" now.
Exactly.
So, it is always funny when they grow that big. But it always cracks me up, too. Like, I mean, I'll look at polish. I'm really looking for assignment soundness. Like, is he going to the linebacker? But the idea of, like, polished 16-year-old offensive lineman always
makes me. Yeah, come on, man.
So it was all good. Joe's asking me. Don't worry, Joe. Eric will be back. We're good. But Patrick Face says the out-of-state kid just said, I've watched Texas since I was a kid. I always do the come on, young, and stop it face. Yeah. They're not old enough for Vince. So it's like, if you – I honestly don't want you watching Texas growing up, honest. It might be worse for us in that case because you guys weren't around for when we were killing it.
You know, I will say about Matthews, though, he has paid attention. He's like, yo, Texas puts DBs in the league. Then he knew Coach Akina got hired. He's like, well, that's the guy that started DBU. Like, I want to be developed. I want to go to the league. So I will say for Samar, he's a little bit different because he's done his research and history on Texas. Like, man, he liked Texas before they were on him. So I would say he's probably the one of the rare ones.
Well, and also, too, like Samari, like with Akina, it's like all corners want to hear that your coach likes to play man, you know?
Yeah, so exactly. It's
like, that's also like a big up right there. All right. Jake Cruel, Edge.
Man, call him David
Bowie this season.
Yeah, man. He took a tremendous bend of speed off the edge, man.
I was going to say he had really good get off there, man.
Man, my guy. I know some people, I called him Baby Bosa when I saw him. I know he's not as tall or lengthy as those guys, but he has the same kind of get off to me with the long arm. He's a physical kid. Look at him. Got his helmet off. But you see the emotion, the excitement. Like, I want that type of guy on the football field. But we look at this little quick jump to get inside, move on the tackle. Like, this kid is an absolute stud off the edge, man. I love Jake Crew a lot.
Dude, did someone sit down next to you at McDonald's?
Man, dude, it was a whole student group came in. They just took over, which, I mean, that's their right. It's,
yeah.
For those that don't know, I'm losing my internet right now in my house.
Yeah, his internet's down.
Yeah.
You're a little bit breaking up-y in your car, just to let you know. Is he frozen for you, Coach?
Yeah, he's frozen.
Yeah, he's frozen for me, too.
Okay.
I'll remove him, and then I can see him on the back end.
Right. No, Jake Cruel, absolute stud, man. I would love to get him as an edge. I don't think you can have too many edge pass rushers. I'm sorry. Like, you can rotate guys, keep him fresh and come after it. Keep going after the quarterback. Man, he has – power to speed, whatever you want. Like, he has a total package as a rush, as an edge rusher. And depending on how big he gets, well, it's like 6'2 and a half, maybe 6'3, 230. I'm not big he gets, but tremendous gear. I think he's a true defensive end. He can play, you know, run and rush the passer.
Yeah. So, where are we looking at? What's the deal with Edge? Dre Quinn, Cruel. Who are all the names that we're looking at there?
You got Jamarion Carlton, Temple, right? So, something you got Landon Barnes still. I want to see if he comes in this week for an official visit this coming weekend. I know he's just at LSU in Georgia the past 2 weeks. So quite a few names, but they all kind of built the same. I think Cruel and Landon Barth may be your more traditional edge play. Maybe Jack, right, because they're more stout, play versus the run more, but where your other guys are off the ball, quick pass rushers. But I want to see what Carlton grows into because he's like 6'5", maybe 230. Yeah, he's got this long, lanky frame, but – you got an array of guys, and man, they can get out to the passer at the edge position.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun.
Oh, at the edge, guys, baby. That's what I'm talking about.
Joe Cook in the house.
What's up?
The RPM maker.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Shot caller, dude.
I was listening to y'all, and I think y'all may have gone over this. I heard y'all talk about what Dre brings to the field, but Dre, just whenever he talks about Austin, you can tell, like, I love this place. So
yeah, some kids just fit.
Jake though, I don't think we got to catch up with him. Waiting out by the airport. I like his film, Coach, but it feels like there's a couple guys ahead of him on the board. Not to say he's a bad player, but just that they have more higher priorities.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not like I say, I'm not sure where he is on the board. You know, we've got Carson, you got Quinn, you know, you got Griffin, right? But, man, he's an absolute stud. Like, wherever you fall, you know what? When recruiting, Lyle and Clark's recruiting, no matter who you get, you feel like you still won, right? Because all these guys can play. They bring something to the table different, but they all can get out to the quarterback.
Yeah.
We talk about, like, volume recruiters, you know, guys who are, you know, helpful on the field but can go out and recruit anybody. And it's funny, Lyle and Clark's almost a volume recruiter just because he has his hand in so many different edge recruitments right now. Like, after only taking two last cycle and not really addressing it in the portal, they're going to go big on both sides of the defensive end spectrum this class.
Oh yeah, what's do we have an update on Kent? We forgot to talk about him, dude.
Kent is there are some kids who I don't think they either don't like the interview process or they just don't talk a lot. I kind of got that sense from Kent, but. He liked what he heard from Jeff Banks. You can't put a number you can't put a 70 on him to expect to get his recruitment to be involved. You got to keep that single digit like they had that number 7 on him. I think his film is real unique.
Yeah, that's why I was looking for any excuse to pull up his film.
Yeah, and Coach, you may be able to. I'm not sure what Brunswick is like playing out there, He's able to bully kids. Yep. I wonder what that looks like at the next level when there are, you know, four or five bullies on the field and not just one.
I was about to say, I'm not sure the competition. Like, yeah, he's an athlete, man. He's like, yeah, he has good feet. Like, he can move. You know, I'm not going to call him McGowan, the guy that played for Baylor, but I might call him Jason Peters, right? I mean, Jason Peters was a tight end, had good feet, could do some of the same things. But like you said, I mean, I know he wants to play tight end, but he's a big guy who can move, man. I don't.
He just took a direct snap. I mean,
it's not even fair, right? But I'm not sure what the competition level is like.
And he's going to have to slim down, right, if he wants to, like, get into the world of skill.
Yeah. Or maybe you keep him at a similar size and show him Malik Ogbo tape from a couple of years ago and be like, this is you, except you can actually catch the football.
Yeah, end around pass. Maybe he's got your jumbo package back, Homer.
And
I know, I'm excited.
I see this. There's still only one Darnell Washington.
Yeah, that's not fair.
You know, like, I, as much as I would like to say that's who he looks like there's only one of those guys. And I don't care what has happened to Darnell Washington and the pros, like that bully argument I had, you know, when you're 6'7", 270 and you're running routes. Yeah. You're eating it. College linebackers aren't going to be able to cover you, but the pros, it's a little bit different.
Definitely.
Dude, his tape's like, he's got a top 10.
It's tape. Fun. It is fun. Tape, that's for sure.
Yeah. That's going to be the trick, right? Getting him to slim down.
Yeah.
That's going to be the answer, right? Or else you end up in that, like you said, like that weird kind of Ogbo spot, but Ogbo with much more like hands and athleticism. But I'm talking about like fit on the line for body type. All right. So are there anybody else we're missing? Joe, you aren't on here to say, but
trying to. You got Jalen Lott was in town. I don't know if he,
oh, yeah. Let's talk some Lott, dude.
Yeah, man.
What's how was his visits?
So we're still waiting to catch up with J-Lot, but, I mean, I'm glad to get him back on campus, man. It looked tremendous athlete, like, played DB, played receiver. I know you're looking at him at a receiver, but Jalen Lott, man, like, there's not too many kids out there, and the only one is committed to Texas and Jermaine Bishop. So, I mean, excellent get. I know his host was Dalen McCutcheon, but, you know, former teammates of Dalen and Parker Livingstone when he was at Lovejoy. So,
right.
Got some familiarity there, man, that I love, but, man, this is absolute. I don't know, man. One of the best.
He's just so smooth, dude. Like dude. That ability to turn, like, he's just a smooth athlete, man.
That's a receiver playing DB, like Trayvon Diggs, like, hey, save it. You know, he can do it all, but put him at receiver, he's a stud. Put him at DB, he's a stud. But man,
does he have a preference?
I think he wants to say he plays receiver, right? So he wants to play receiver.
Man, whatever. Put him. Whatever. All right. Take the commitment.
Put him on the field.
Yeah, I was going to say, put him on the field, man. But, man, if he plays corner, it's NFL. Yeah, so it's like I get wide receivers fun, man, but him as a corner is going to be, like, crazy, dude.
Coach, I know all. Whenever you talk to any of these kids, they're like, you know, I want to be the next Travis Hunter. Well, sorry, you're not the next Travis Hunter. There may not be another Travis Hunter again, but I think something we talked about and that Sark himself has some experience with, Adoree Jackson. That True. May be a little bit more of an apt comparison because it and stats sometimes don't tell the whole story, but in the year that Sark didn't finish at USC, Jackson had 27 catches for 414 yards, two touchdowns, was their primary kick return guy, primary punt return guy, and then he also had 35 tackles and a pick six. Like,
I didn't even realize
he had a count looks player. Like, but like that primary on one side, specialized on the other instead of full-time on both, maybe a little bit more realistic, and Sark can be like, hey, 2014 and parts of 2015, I did that with this guy.
Right.
Yeah, I didn't even realize that because I would think Sark would immediately be like, nope. you know, but he has done. But the thing also with Travis Hunter is like, guys, his coach was Dion, who was a two-way player and also made sure that, like, and is willing to do very unique stuff and part of the pitch to Travis Hunter. So it's like that was also a very unique situation in which Travis Hunter got to do that as well.
Yeah, so it goes like, who do we compare Travis Hunter to? Oh yeah, the other greatest cornerback.
Yeah, yeah, line, yeah. Like, and that was happened to be his coach. That was like one of the few people that's like, yeah, I love two-way players because I love me being a two-way player. But Lott's ability to turn his hips at corner, man, is
unreal.
Is unreal, dude. And he'll be a great receiver too, man. But just like first round corner right there.
And I heard y'all talking about arm length earlier. Like, I don't care about his arm length because I know he can jump 6'11".
True.
It doesn't. Yeah. It doesn't. He could. Yeah. He could be T-Rex, but he can jump up and get him.
Yeah, he's just smooth, man. Like, it's overused, but just like a natural looking football player, man. He just moves like that. So that's
and awesome. And you know, we've seen with, I know Arch is the prime example, but you go to Santana Wilson, you go even looking at Dia Bell to an extent, my guy Lance St. Louis, like all these guys have football families. Jalen Lott comes from a football family. He knows what hard work looks like. He knows not only from his dad, his sister runs track, I think, at USC. Like, yeah. He knows he's not going to be surprised. I mean, everybody who gets to Texas is a little bit surprised by the work that's required, but he's not going to be like super surprised. Like, oh, I have to do this. It's not coming easy. Like, this is someone who's going to, he'll walk into any program and know how what's required of him.
Who's the competition for Jalen?
Man, I'd say Ohio State.
No,
Oregon. I say it because receiver, but I mean, I guess, yeah, USC, but I would say Oregon too. I think Joe's right, but I don't know, man. I know it's probably kind of for him to come out west with her, but who knows?
There's something going on. Oregon, man. It always feels like that. Like the receivers and stuff like Oregon. I guess it's because NIL, but also they were the cool school. When I was growing up, Oregon was the cool school, man, because their jerseys were unique. And that seems to have kind of stuck. But man, I hope we can land this guy. He's awesome. All right. Let's see. OU has 10 commits. OU 10 commits. Two Texans. A&M 15 commits. Four Texans. UT 13 commits. Eight Texans. Thoughts?
Well, let's take away. I hate the takeaway thing, but how are we involving specialists? Like, should we look at it as, for this argument, like maybe 10 commits and what would that be?
Five.
Six Texans.
How many specialists do we have?
Kicker? All three and one. Okay. And one's from Texas. Or two. Two are from Texas.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, so six Texans if we take that away. We can take it away just to try to equalize because I don't know if the other people have specialists in their class.
So I'm looking at Oklahoma's real quick, and Oklahoma has always looked nationally because they don't have a natural in-state pool. They treat the Metroplex like it's in-state, which they are right to. They have two from the Metroplex right now, which is a little bit concerning for them.
I was going to say, it seems like that power base has been slipping a little bit.
They've always tried to look at Florida. They've always tried to look at certain parts of California. But I think they're trying maybe without as much effect as Texas has, you know, okay, we play in the Southeastern Conference now. You know, we played at Auburn last year. We'll play at Florida, play South Carolina. Like, you won't be far if you want to come here from seeing one of your games. And then, you know, I mean, I know people on here don't want to hear about Norman, but it's like it's not far from Oklahoma City. It's a big enough city with an airport. Yeah, but I think Oklahoma is just – I think what you're seeing maybe a little bit more of falling – lagging. Not like falling off, but lagging as far as national stuff. And then with A&M – that is going to be, I don't know what the deal with that is. Let me see. I know they have, Jonathan Hatton, great player from Steele. Their quarterback is from Utah. It's a very odd, odd aspect. You'd think they would try to lock up Houston a little bit more, and all they have right now is Mike Brown. It's a good question.
Well, it's just A&M such a national brand, so they don't need local guys. They can get it guys anywhere, all over the nation, guys. That's the Texas A&M reach. Is Houston down this cycle?
Yeah.
That means yes.
let me see. I mean, like, you got Keyshawn Henderson, who top quarterback in the state, but he's the only top. I mean, I don't think Willis counts for Houston. So there's honestly only in the top 20 of On3's rankings, just Keyshawn Henderson. Yeah, it's – I'll call it down.
Yeah, so I don't know. Texas is becoming the preeminent – not becoming, is the preeminent brand right now, which feels good. And Sark also landed. I think it's – if you're talking like Texas, the state of Texas covers, Dave Campbell's and Texas Monthly's Barbecue. Those are like the two biggest magazines, man. Mm-hmm. And so for Sark to get that, that's also big.
That was awesome.
Yeah. So I wonder if Sark understood the importance of getting that magazine, not being
right in his ear. Yeah. Told him
say yes.
And I know they try to spread their coverage around, especially with the cover, and the fact that they now have the double cover, basically, so they can hit the top college topic, the top high school topic. I was a little surprised they went Texas because they had Quinn Ewers on the front last year, and you know that's still a Texas player. But I'm a little bit surprised they didn't go Arch. But I mean, Arch is going to come and go.
But as far as Dorn is, but also going away from Texas, there's really not an option. I mean, what you could talk about that Tech is like poised for something, but they haven't done it yet.
And Joey was on the cover 2 years ago.
Yeah, so it's like maybe I don't know where you go.
SMU would have been.
Yeah, but the reach, right? Like at some point, business has got to be a factor here, right? And like SMU is big around SMU, but it's not really anywhere else. So that's kind of the tricky part. I don't know how you wouldn't end up going back to Texas just for because all the other schools are seemingly a little bit down or on the way up, but not there yet. All right, guys, before we keep going, let's hear a word from Andre the Lawyer.
This video is brought to you by Andre the Lawyer. If you're injured, trust the team that secured millions for their clients and helped thousands of Texans with their injury case. Car wrecks, slip and falls, 18-wheeler accidents, on-the-job injuries, and wrongful deaths. Don't let insurance tell you what your claim is worth. Hire Andre the Lawyer to fight for you. Principal office is in Dallas, but they serve Texans throughout the state. So don't wait and call Andre the Lawyer today at 214-444-8808. That's 214-444-8808. The contact information is in the description.
All right, guys. Director's Cup. Once again, elite. Now, keep in mind, if you win the Director's Cup, it's important. If you don't, it's a silly award that no one cares about. So you got to remember how the fans react to that. But if you win, it's also like Elite 11. So right now we've seen that Diabelle is leading Elite 11, so therefore we like Elite 11. If your quarterback does not win, Elite 11 does not matter, right?
They're biased, just underwear Olympics. You know, they don't know what they're looking at.
Yeah, and so so it's same thing with Director's Cup. Man, CDC, shouts out, dude.
Man.
I mean, I really – didn't understand the true importance of a good AD. Like, you understand, like, you get it, right? You need your leader to be good. But to see how it's raised everything, that's remarkable. And to have an AD that's, you know, because sometimes they can be biased, right? Like, really, they're a football AD and everything else is kind of whatever. That's not, man, it's like every sport at Texas has improved. It's remarkable what he's done.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome to see, man. I don't know, man. Like I said, I pay attention to the Director's Cup a little bit. Like, you want to brag when you get it. Like, yeah, yeah. You know, to the net if you didn't. But yeah, he's
ready. That's the award for them. That's how you evaluate them. Like, that's
huge. It's the standard. Like, change the logo to Texas at this point. Like, that's what it needs to be. But
yeah.
I don't know. He's raised a level across all sports. I mean, I absolutely love it, man. Especially where we came from, right? We had Steve Patterson before him, right? So
We don't want to talk about that, man.
That was during my time.
I think even if – I mean, we harp on everything football here, but even if you watch this as a football-focused person and, you know, you're like, okay, well, is Texas going to make it in the tournament? Like, if you're one of those types of Longhorns fans, which I completely understand, what it shows is the athletic department that still runs your football program has adults, competent adults, more than competent adults running it. And like you said, Charlie, there used to be cases where that wasn't that wasn't the case. But it also, I think it also indicates just winning culture and the people. Like, you have, I remember Sark, and even back when he was coaching Texas, David Pierce would talk about, like, we've got literally the best swimming coach ever is here in Eddie Reese.
Yeah.
And that's a guy who's just bringing in national championships basically every other year. If that doesn't get you going, then okay, now you've got Mike White, who's won a softball national championship. Mm-hmm. Now you have Jared Elliott, who's won three or four national. Like, there's a, you can look around, and they do this. They have head coach retreats and head coach meetings, and you look around and you'll see, okay, national champion, conference champion, you know, four Olympians in the program. And you can look around and think, like, I got to step it up.
Exactly. Like, we got to make the playoffs. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It does matter, man. And like you said, winning culture, but also CDC's scouting ability and finding good coaches too, man. I mean, yes, at Texas, you're going to be able to financially secure it, but it's also identifying talent. And so CDC's been able to do that too, right? Because when we got Sark at first, there was real questions in the fan base, right? Just because we had the Urban Meyer, you know, guys that we know are kind of quote unquote sure things, even though those guys are not sure things always, Jimbo Fisher. But it's like that. It was that period with Sark, and then when I looked at the coaches he's bringing over, it felt good. But the confidence and L-Type, man, shout out L-Type, like, you know, he's in the background doing everything. You see him in the photo. So we have a little group of really elite ability to identify talent and then most importantly, go secure that talent. We're in a lucky spot right now. So appreciate it, because it doesn't exist forever type thing.
Being an athletic director these days, you have to have, like, multimedia, you know, contract negotiating skills. You have to have, you know, this business sense. You can't just hire the old football coach and hope that he can glad hand with everybody.
You have to be politically savvy, because you're moving in, like, all of these political arenas now, because all the states' laws are involved. So it's like, that's a weird, powerful position that you have to know how to move. I think CDC would do great in politics.
I don't want to lose him. I have one. I think we put this on an old humidor, like, way back in the day. I think there was a large academic donor who gave, like, I don't think the school wasn't named after him, but something big was named after him. And, you know, I think, I forget which school it was, but he gave a ton of money, millions of dollars to a department. And they're kind of like, okay, well, thank you. What can we do? It's like, hey, I'd, you know, like to maybe meet Steve Patterson and just, you know, poke around the football facility. And, you know, they sit down and get to Patterson's office. And it's like, so who are you again? Like, just not doing the basic amount of research needed to not just, you know, satiate an ego, but to be gracious to someone who gave millions of dollars to the school, and he barely had the time of day for him. So I think we can look at Steve Patterson and see the multitude of sporting endeavors that he has tanked across leagues. And,
well, his whole thing with it, he was going to extrapolate every dollar, right? And that meant, like, pissing off every fans, charging every ounce of fees you could, just the opposite of CDC's, like, fan friendliness. And CDC, you know, takes losses putting up these Bebo Boulevard, you know, yeah. it's like CDC is willing to spend to, cause he knows on the back end, the fans will pay it off. Patterson was the opposite. He was trying to squeeze every cent out of there. It was too bottom line focused. And I remember him turning off a lot of fans across all sports.
He has a, his history includes very, very poor times with the Longhorns, obviously. Did terrible with the Trailblazers.
I was going to say he's a Trailblazers before, right?
And then Arizona State, I think they were okay then. And then he got the Arizona Coyotes. And granted, hockey in Phoenix is always going to be a little bit of a problem. But I think he made the problems worse. And that's why they're now the Utah Mastodon or Mammoth or something like that.
I know nothing. You're asking the worst hockey panel probably in existence right now.
Well, I know Phoenix does not have a hockey team anymore, and a lot of it had to do with some of his management.
It's crazy how those guys, like, once they get to that level, they can just move around regardless of them destroying several things. There's only like 8 guys that can do it anyway, so you just get to jump from place to place even though you're horrible at your job. But the main point is we're lucky with CDC. How he relates to fans, how he tries to be out there, invisible and accountable, even though some of the fans drive me nuts on Twitter with the requests they give. They get way too comfortable, but I guess that's the side of CDC making you feel comfortable. Yep. But the amount of like free ticket requests he has to deal with and stuff is pretty bonkers. But he's also very straightforward too. Like, you know, people ask him questions and he's not just – politicking. He'll be like, no, we're not going to do that, you know, and this is why type of thing too. Yeah. So it's not all pure just like fan service. I think he's an honest guy and clearly a huge pickup for us. All right. Let's hit a little bit of team news just from Friday's show and kind of where we're at. Kids are back in the full swing of things. I think the cool stuff from Friday was CJ Baxter being back in the mix. That's huge, right? Still what ifs, right? Because he really tore up his knee. It wasn't a simple knee issue that he occurred with. He's definitely gained weight and muscle mass, which can be good. But like we were talking about with Ojo, he didn't grow to 6'7". But your body changed, right? So now you need to kind of run and figure that out. But, if we can get him firing, you know, he's a fan favorite for a reason. And then once again, man, more DeAndre Moore positivity. Like, we've been hearing that for 2 years now. Like, sources love him, man. And like how they talk about him is like he's gonna run one of those 40s that we're not expecting, you know. And so that's gonna be, I've noticed this, once you start hearing those things, those players generally go flying up the draft boards. So as long as, you know, he's not having hands problems, I think he's gonna be a great fit with Arch. And you know, everybody's eyes on Wingo, but the sources we're hearing is like Moore could easily be the number one receiver this year.
Look, I think that's absolutely like on par with Moore. Like, as soon as he got there, he's one of those guys that's a hard worker. As soon as he stepped on campus, like, he's been that way since high school. Like, you know what I'm saying? From training to all that, he came in ready to play mentally. To play a Sark's offense as a freshman, that's hard to do. Like, regardless of who you are, you know what I'm saying? That's hard to get on the field and actually pick up the playbook and learn it. So, the fact that, you know, he's been mentioned again, what, third year in a row, speaks volumes of what kind of talent he is, what kind of work he puts in, though. I think he's going to be the leader of that room. He's going to show everybody why he is that guy. You know, he may have a breakout season, Torrey. He may be able to leave at the end of the season. You never know, right? Like,
that's how they're talking.
You know what I mean? You just never know. So he could be that Matthew Golden, right? Have an explosion middle to the end of the season and play have a great playoff run. But I'm excited to see him, you know, kind of bounce back. Let me not say bounce back. He had a few drops, right? So let me not say bounce back, but show he is consistent catching the football. He can do all the things inside or outside as a receiver.
Go ahead. No, you're good. Go ahead.
I think there may be a sense among fans when you look at, you know, Texas was his third commitment. I think, what was it? Not modern day. John Bosco was his either second or third high school. And you can look at that and just kind of think, like, you know, that can raise alarm bells, or raise red flag, raise alarms. But the constant was his play. Like, you never really saw him dip, I think, production-wise. I think he was properly ranked. You know, I think he was just outside the top 100 or something like that. He wasn't perfect, but he wasn't, you know, when you're 6 foot and 190 and you can do all the different stuff, like, you're still going to, and he kept that. And then he kept that even when he was redshirting. And sometimes that's a, that can be a concern. Like, this has been the guy at every school he's gone to. He's been highly recruited, and you wonder what maybe a year a little bit out of that spotlight looks like. It didn't stop him, and I think that's credit to Jordan Whittington that Moore himself has given. I think it's credit to Chris Jackson as well for saying, like, look, your turn's almost here, and when it is, you better be ready. And he's done that. I'm excited to see what he does. I really want to know what they do with Mosley. And
that's what I was going to ask. Is he getting pushed outside? Because that's cool too, man.
Because this may be one of those years, you know, we always kind of mention, like, you know, you have these receiver spots, but you move them all over. Like, it may look more amorphous than ever. At least on the field side, I think Wingo can do it all. Maybe it is still pretty amorphous, but you still want him in favorable matchups in certain parts of the field.
Yeah, I still keep Wingo at a boundary just because they're not going to have the athletes to deal with that. But you get Mosley with that surety over the middle, that maturity over the middle, and the guy that can just get to the sticks and catch the third down. And then you have Moore that can fire off for like the arch fade. That you saw. So that's what I wanted to hit with more as a breakout, but also if you move him outside, which I think he can handle that change because I think he's smart too. So remember when, like, as soon as Arch got to campus, they did that, I don't know, Instagram story or whatever, that he was throwing fades to Moore like immediately when he stepped on campus. So they should have some good connection there too. Speaking of Wingo, shout out Arch, Wingo, everybody that went to the camp in Missouri. Shout out Arch, dude. He's good. He's good in the hood, dude.
Yeah. Oh, man. He signed off on my man, man. Arch is good no matter where he goes, right?
Yeah. I looked up where Greer Avenue is, and yeah, it's a part of St. Louis, man. It's and you saw the little kid throwing up the hook'em with the Ryan Wingo skills camp. Like, that's
that matters, dude.
Eric says this all the time. It's like the white lines of the football field don't care what you look like. And I think Arch Manning comes from probably one of the more affluent families in wherever he goes. But he's just Arch. We've reported this so often. He's a regular guy, you know. And Peyton and Eli are pretty regular. Cooper's pretty regular. Like, Arch is pretty regular. He's a football player. He likes being one of the guys, you know, football brings them all together, and did that in St. Louis with Wingo this past weekend.
But it matters too, man. That, like, that little kid throwing up the horns, you know, like, that's, you know, what does that look like in 15 years if that kid can ball, you know? So it's like, it matters, dude. Like,
Arch Manning on Greer Avenue got this top wide receiver.
Exactly. But it matters. Like, you know, you want those kids to in Missouri to care about Texas, you know, and if that's the way to do it, then that's super cool. But that was fun. Anything else from Friday's show, Joe, that really stuck out to you?
I did like the fact that Eric brought up that Jack Indries, and this is going to drive people crazy, and I think if you're the type of person who looks at, like, transcripts, it always shows up as injuries instead of Indries. So I basically try to call him Jack Indries every single time.
Correct, because it sounds like you're talking about players got hurt.
But he's apparently – endeared himself pretty darn well. Like, he's got a leadership role. You know, you're still learning the playbook. You're still learning aspects of tight end and in Sark's offense. But he's already somebody who I feel like he can come in and say, like, look, I've earned some stripes. I don't care if I'm new here. Like, I went from walk on to all ACC. And now here I am at Texas and I'm still doing it. Like, I feel like that's someone who can earn some respect pretty quickly. And, you know, if you're brought in to start, which I think everybody can look around and be like, yeah, that guy's probably going to be the first tight end on the field. You have to walk the walk, and sounds like he's done that a lot. And it's helping him talk the talk, too.
I was going to say, he was brought in to be the mature, experienced guy. So you want him to be that. And you want him to be that for Arch. You want that security blanket, like we said, like with Mosley, a guy that can catch those third down. He's plus 90% catch rate. Like, that's an insane number. So you want somebody with confidence, and he also has that stability. I think, man, if you end up with Mosley and injuries on the inside, and you have the playmaking of Moore and Wingo on the outside, man, you can go either way you want there. You have security, and then you also have ways to blow the doors off. I'm really excited about this core, man. I think it'll be unique, but it was exciting to hear. And then also we had some DT stuff too, man. Shaw, Brevard.
I've long been the Travis Shaw truther. He was until Merod Watson showed up. I thought he was going to be the guy who hit it best. Sounds like the knee is coming along fine. It's just been a lingering thing. When you're 340 or 350, that's a lot of pressure on that joint right there. But coming along well, and I don't think there's any sign of the rotation ending and being pretty stout.
Yeah, it's a good thing though. I like it. Keep those big boys fresh.
For sure. Yeah, the rotation. I mean, somebody's got to pop that. We took every defensive tackle in the portal, which I like that strategy. Just squeeze everyone out. Just take everyone from the
portal. Means the other out. Means other people can't get them.
That's what I was saying.
That's part of the fun part of recruiting. Like, if you take this player, it means you're not playing against them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so it's like, that's what I liked about it, this, like, smothering approach. Of, like, we'll just take every single one of them. All right, so it was a big recruiting weekend. We had some fun stuff there. Joe dropped the RPM. We're excited. Should be a fun class. And then we're about to go into in July, guys, where we've taken historically with Sark, taken some losses that turn around and become wins in December. But I don't know. It's looking like we'll get some wins in July too, right? So it's going to be we'll figure it out, man. Eric's holding it down in Tahoe, so his magic should work. Or the opposite of his magic. I don't know how it worked the past couple years.
It varies year to year, it seems like.
I was going to say. All right, chat. Thank you guys for hanging out. Joe, thank you for coming in on short notice.
Yeah.
Coach Dub, Eric, if you're watching, we miss you, dude. Have fun in Tahoe and
get a snack wrap.
He's an Egg McMuffin guy. I already asked. I said, I was like, McGriddles. And he was like, no, dude, Egg McMuffin. I was like, that's a very plain choice, dude. That's not exciting. But all right, guys, thanks for hanging out with us. And then today we're going to shoot the baseball show. So y'all tune in for that. And then reheat this evening, correct? All right. I haven't talked to Joe about it yet, so there we go. Reheat this evening, and then you guys know the usual schedule on Tuesday. Have a good one, y'all. This was brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors. Peace.